Hello and welcome to another SNL Energy Podcast. I'm Senior Editor Jennifer Zajac, and with me today is Executive Vice President Dennis Holbrook. He's with North Energy, and we're going to discuss the controversial vote that's going to take place, we think, in New York regarding a moratorium on hydraulic fracturing. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey, could you start off by kind of giving our listeners a little background on the vote, particularly what happened with the Senate Bill 8129, the resolution that barred New York's ability to issue hydraulic fracturing drilling permits until May 2011?
Well, I'd be happy to do that. I guess at the outset, I'd have to point out that they haven't actually barred anything yet. It's a proposal right now, resolution that was passed, as you point out, by the Assembly. It was passed well after midnight. It was passed in a circumstance where they were all there on overtime because they hadn't gotten their budget approved. The budget was actually, at that point in time, several months late. They hadn't been paid because under New York law, if they haven't got a budget in place as of April 1st of the year, their pay is suspended until such time as they actually have a budget. So they were grumpy. They were probably extremely tired. And I did view the debate that preceded the vote. I think they were unfortunately misinformed.
What's your outlook? Do you think people are becoming more informed about hydraulic fracturing?
Well, clearly, and again, it's easy to be critical and just say that they were misinformed and sort of say shame on them for not knowing better. But I really turn back to the industry and say shame on us that we weren't able to do a better job of informing them. I think we as an industry view this as a challenge and say, well, now it's in the Assembly's hands. Presumably it's in their hands. I mean, they are the next step in the process should they choose to take up the measure. And clearly our goal and what we've been doing as a company is doing all we can to try and educate people on the issues and to try and make them better informed than I feel the Senate was. If you'd like, I can sort of address at least some aspects of where I saw the Senate being less than fully informed.
Please do.
The debate focused very much on what they believed was wrong with the hydraulic fracturing process as evidenced outside of New York. They didn't focus on the fact that New York State had had a history of allowing hydraulic fracturing dating back 60 years, and it had over tens of thousands of wells drilled using that process safely without any established contamination of drinking water supplies. So what happened is they focused on rumor and allegations that were taking place not in the area that they actually have jurisdiction, but in areas that they heard about, whether it was neighboring states or areas out west. So the first problem was they didn't base it on the science and the history and their own regulatory commission review that was taking place in New York. They based it on all these other factors outside the state. Secondly, the factors that they looked to, that they alluded to, really were not hydraulic fracturing issues. They were more related to just issues that can come up when you have drilling taking place, such as if you don't do something correctly in terms of how you cement as you go through the aquifer, you could have some leakage. That could take place whether it's hydraulic fracturing or any kind of drilling process. They also didn't seem to appreciate that methane gas can occur naturally in nature in water supplies simply because it's there and you can encounter it when you drill a water well. And we've had that experience over the many, many decades that I've been involved in this industry, where people can drill a water well in an area that has absolutely no drilling activity and experience methane gas. So there was a lot of misinformation out there. And the last thing I would just comment on is, which was I found particularly disturbing, is it seemed like the thrust of the vote, I mean, I know it was overwhelming in the end in the Senate, so it included a lot of different parties across the state, but most of the debate focused on downstate interests, New York City metropolitan area and the immediate surrounding area, concern about protecting their freshwater supply. And as you probably are aware, they derive their freshwater supply from upstate New York in a series of large aquifers that tunnel the water down unfiltered to New York City. They focused on that and felt that this legislation was necessary to protect that, apparently unaware that the DEC, the regulatory body in New York, had already removed that from the equation several months ago. So even if the SGIS were allowed to go forward and the permits were allowed to be issued, there was not to be any drilling activity under those rules in those aquifers. So a lot of the oomph that I saw coming from the downstate interests, which are very significant in
what happens, the New York State Assembly, are they going to vote on this before the November election? What's your outlook? What are you hearing?
We've heard a mixed message. My understanding is that they have to come back to address the budget. So I believe, my understanding right now is that the Assembly needs to come back and at least vote on the budget measures in New York. The question is, if that's correct, whether they choose to take up anything else. My understanding is that that's in the hands of the Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver. He has the ability to determine if other matters will be taken up.
Well, looking at the tea leaves, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen, Dennis?
It is a little bit of reading the tea leaves. When the Senate addressed this measure at the end of July, there clearly at that point in time, I think, was a sense that the Assembly would probably follow suit. My hope is that now, with some of the efforts we've made, we've sent out thousands of letters to property owners that we have a leasing relationship with. We've sent out hundreds of letters to elected officials across the state, a series of letters now, trying to better inform them about some of the issues that we're talking about here. Plus, we're doing things like we're doing with you here today, letters to the editor, various different papers, and interviews throughout the state for the purpose of better informing. So my hope is that with that information, they either will not necessarily follow suit with the Senate and take up this vote, or if they choose to, they may feel the need to address what the Senate set out to address, but in a more narrow fashion so that it only included, if hydraulic fracturing of shales is what the Senate set out to address, then that's not what the bill ultimately covered. The bill ultimately covered all hydraulic fracturing in the state. If the purpose was to protect the New York City watershed areas, which seem to be the primary motivation, they could do that with a more refined bill than the one that the Senate passed. So my hope is that if the Assembly feels the need to still take up this measure, that they will do it with a more measured approach.
Dennis, is Norse Energy the only company that's leading this crusade, or are there many other drilling companies that have interest in drilling in New York? Are they also lobbying hard?
That's a good question, and there clearly are other players. Most of the bigger players have interests elsewhere outside of New York, so some of the bigger ones have sort of expressed the comment that they have other places to be right now, and they'll just either remove their activities from New York or hold off on their activities until such time as New York sees the light. Some of the smaller companies or mid-sized companies such as ours have focused a lot of our efforts in New York State, and so we're more susceptible and more directly affected by what New York may choose to do. With that said, I would say to you also this. I've been a member of the board of directors of our trade association really since its inception, almost 30 years ago, and we are working as a collective body through that trade association, IOGA of New York, to try and get out the public information as best we can. So I would say no, it's not just our company, but we did feel it was important for, I think sometimes it's very important for the elected officials to hear directly from companies as well as from sort of collective bodies like trade associations or hired representatives. I think sometimes it rings a little truer when you hear directly from the companies that are impacted. So we're trying to do both. And I wouldn't say we are exclusively doing it as a company. There are other companies. I've got meetings set up later this week with some of those companies to talk about how we can better coordinate the education process.
Dennis, there's another factor that's going on. The state's Department of Environmental Conservation, they're preparing the Supplemental Generic Environmental Impact Study on drilling. And that, I believe, is supposed to come out by the end of the year. How might that play a factor in this? Could, for example, the state assembly say, well, let's wait and see what the DEC has to say on the drilling technology?
That's a very good question. And the short answer is yes, of course. In fact, we would argue that's the more prudent way to approach it. The DEC are our state scientists, our watchdog over the environment. They are the party that's been responsible for decades of very strict scrutiny of our industry. And as a result, we have had a very, very, very spotless record in New York State. And there's actually a tort that the commissioner of the DEC sent to a leading member of the New York State Assembly, basically refuting all the allegations that had been floating around about spillage issues in New York State. I'll give you one example. There was an individual out of Ithaca that cited some total of 250-odd examples over the years of spillage issues, and the commissioner literally went through point by point and refuted them, including pointing out that this individual included things like if you were at a gas station filling up your car and you spilled a drop of gasoline while you were filling your car up, he was including those kind of incidences as oil and gas industry spillage issues. So it was very, very misleading. I thought it was very significant that the DEC, not the industry, refuted these type of allegations. One of the points, Jennifer, that we're trying to focus the attention on right now is just the point you've asked here. What we're trying to do is suggest to the legislature that you have the expertise in the DEC. Allow the DEC to finish their process, which has been over 2 years. It'll be almost 2.5 years if they finish it, which we anticipate toward the end of this calendar year. Let the DEC finish the SGEIS process. Allow them to go forth and issue permits when they feel they're ready to issue permits. The moratorium legislation that we're talking about right now is actually directed at the DEC, saying to the DEC, we don't want you to issue any permits, regardless of whether you feel you're ready to, until an arbitrary date, which was selected as May 15th of 2011.
Dennis, we haven't really talked too much about the implications of what will happen in the worst-case scenario that this moratorium is passed and permits are not allowed to be issued until May 2011. What are the implications for your company? What are the implications for New York? And how might this impact what's going on a national level?
Our view right now in reading the legislation as proposed is, as I stated earlier on this call, it's very broadly directed right now. Our belief is it would affect almost all drilling activity in New York State. Almost all drilling activity that has been going on here for the last several decades has involved some form of hydraulic fracturing as part of the completion process. It doesn't matter whether it's in shales, whether it's in sandstone. So we think it would have very broad implications throughout the state. We, as a company, sort of in a unique situation where the principal horizon that we have been pursuing over the last few years is called the Herkimer Sandstone. It outcrops in Herkimer, New York, near Syracuse. That's where it derives its name. And just because of the nature of the rock that we're dealing with, do not have to engage in hydraulic fracturing for that particular formation. So for the current formation that we're working with, probably has less impact on us, the proposed moratorium, than it does for most companies. But from what we can see right now, we're in sort of a unique area, and it may be a fairly limited area, and it wouldn't apply generically for companies across the state. So at least as it relates to our ability to drill something, it appears that we have that option. But clearly the big picture is the opportunity to ultimately be able to pursue the shales. That's why you've had all the excitement that you've seen across the country, whether it's the Marcellus or the Haynesville or the Barnett. We can do some maintenance right now. How long that can go on depends on how long the moratorium might exist, but we clearly see it having significant ramifications right now across the state. On the second question that you posed, which was implications beyond New York, there's no question that other states will be looking at what New York does. For that matter, I imagine other provinces. There's drilling up in Quebec, and I've read an editorial recently in the Montreal paper suggesting maybe that province should follow suit with what New York is proposing right now. The likelihood that would occur, for example, in Pennsylvania, I would think would be relatively small. They've had a long history.